Good evening and welcome along to this week's episode of The Score on this wet Thursday evening, the 2nd of October. I'm your host Mark Gallagher and I'll be with you now right through until 8 o'clock. As always, we do have a busy show lined up to review and preview all the latest stories in the world of sport here in the Northwest. Coming up on the show tonight, we'll be previewing this weekend's Donegal Intermediate Final between Neave Columba and Mallon. We'll be speaking to Tony Boyle for a look ahead to the Donegal Senior Ladies Final as old rivals Terman and Glenfinn get set to lock horns once again. In our local soccer segment, we'll be speaking to the Swilly Rovers and Rathmullen Celtic Camps as those two clubs meet in the Donegal Junior League on Sunday. But firstly, we'll start with our weekly League of Ireland preview. Finn Harps are not in action this week, but there's a massive Northwest derby in the SSC Airchesty League Premier Division tomorrow night as Sligo Rovers make the trip to play Derry City at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. Sligo won the previous clash between these two sides 2-0 at the Showgrounds back in July and have since gone on a good run to give themselves a real opportunity of maintaining their Premier Division status. Derry, meanwhile, are aiming to solidify their European spot for next season. Tiernan Lynch's side sits second in the table and a win on Friday would leave them in a strong position heading into the final three games. The FA Cup semi-finals will also be played this weekend. Finn Harps conquerors Cork City will face St Patrick's Athletic on Friday, while Sunday sees the David and Goliath clash of Shamrock Rovers and Kerry in the other last four fixture. Well, joining us on the programme this evening is former Harps captain and current Sligo Rovers under 19 manager Declan Boyle. Declan, welcome back to The Score and thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
No game for Finn Harps this week, so maybe we'll start with the big Northwest derby in the Premier Division between Derry and Sligo at the Brandywell, Declan. Derry looking to secure their European place and seem in a good position to do so. Sligo have been obviously at the other end of the table but are unbeaten in their last five league games and, you know, in decent shape in terms of avoiding the drop. It's kind of hard to know what way this game might swing.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, Derry probably hadn't had the best results in the last while, but they're still up there. I mean, they're second from the table, obviously. We know Shamrock Rovers are now going to lift the title probably in the next week or two. So their form has been very good. But Derry now have a chance to obviously get into Europe where they didn't achieve that last year. So, you know, I suppose that's still considered a good season for them if they can get into Europe. Obviously, Sligo, you mentioned, are coming in really good form in the league. I suppose the only one blotch and the copybook would be the performance against Kerry, where they were 3-0 up and ended up losing 4-3 and knocked out of the quarterfinal of the cup, which is really disappointing for them. But their league form has been very, very good in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And where they were in a wee bit of bother down near the bottom and just ahead of Cork City, they've now pushed up and leapfrogged both Galway and Waterford as well. So that just shows the kind of form they're in. Yeah, I agree with you. Normally these games are quite tight. Sligo normally I've got results in the last while in the Brandywell, and their performance against Derry City have always been very good. So I know the conditions tomorrow mightn't be very good, so it'll be interesting to see how that affects the game and the performance of both teams. But listen, it's one of those ones where it could go either way, and probably the team that scores first will probably go on to win it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about the weather, actually. It could affect things. If we go back to Sligo and Derry last time out, Sligo beat Derry 2-0 back in July. If I remember correctly, that was a result that really frustrated Derry fans and, you know, maybe in hindsight kind of ended their title hopes. It was a really bad result at the time. And from then, Sligo gave them a huge boost to kickstart their run of good form. Were you at that game? And I suppose it was one of the big results of the season, maybe a turning point for both clubs.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I suppose I know Derry came early in the season and got a victory. And that was their first victory in a long time in the Showground. Sligo has had massive results against Derry City and the Showgrounds, and have beaten them in the last 3 or 4 years there, apart from obviously the start of the season. So I agree with you in regards to Derry were very good in the first match and got a victory, but Sligo were very comprehensive in the 2-0 victory in the last league match in the Showgrounds. But yeah, listen, I suppose it's one of those ones, you know, you've a lot of players coming together for Derry City, you know, and there's players coming and going a lot as well in July, so there's a wee bit of I suppose instability in regards to new players coming in. That takes a wee bit of time to bond them in. But, you know, their form has been, you know, it's been just okay, I think, you know. They'd probably rather be closer to Shamrock Rovers, but at the same time they have a massive opportunity to nail down second position, which would be a really good season, and to get into Europe, which would be massive from a funding perspective as well for next year, and recruiting more players as well. So listen, it could go either way. You just don't know how this is going to go. I really don't. But you're thinking, well, hopefully Derry City at home, you know, you give them definitely the advantage of trying to get 3 points.
Yeah, and the only other top flight game tomorrow, Drogheda will look to keep their push for a European place alive as they go to Waterford. Well, Declan, it is FAI Cup semi-final weekend. It's Cork against St Pat's tomorrow, and Shamrock Rovers play Kerry on Sunday. Who do you see as the two finalists coming out of them two semi-finals?
Yeah, listen, I suppose it takes Shamrock Rovers. I know they're obviously playing tonight as well in Europe, but I mean, you're thinking the quality players they have at their disposal, they'll not be caught like Sligo Rovers were caught. So you're expecting them at home. They probably will reshuffle the pack a wee bit and give some of the fringe players a start against Kerry, but hopefully, I think you'll see Shamrock Rovers overcoming Kerry in the semi final. And obviously, then look at the Cork St Pat's match. I think Cork will put in a good performance. They're at home, they have a big crowd behind them. But just see the extra quality that St Pat's have in the forward positions. And on top of that, they can bring in another three or four players that will change the game for them with that wee bit of quality. I expect St Pat's to also get the final, which would be a really interesting game if both those teams can get through, because it'll be a really good cup final.
Yeah, we'll have a look at matters maybe in the First Division. As I said, Finn Harps are not in action tomorrow. Athlone play Dundalk. Cove are at home to Bray. Treaty host Longford Town, and UCD are away at Wexford. A bit of a title race kind of threatened to break out between Dundalk and Cove, but really with just three games to go, Dundalk are six clear. They're going to go on and win it, are they?
Yeah, listen, I think so. I think disappointingly for Cove, when Dundalk were beaten in Longford, Cove got a draw themselves, which, you know, didn't help their case. So, but you know, when you're after after Dundalk, they're after Dundalk all year, and they're always behind them, that 6-7 points. And when you're, you know, Dundalk lose, you need to be, you know, getting 3 points just to close that gap, you know. So you're probably looking at obviously, I can see, you know, Cove, Bray, UCD, and then it's a flip up between Treaty and Wexford, who's going to make that fourth spot for the playoffs. But Dundalk, obviously, the winners, undeservedly so. They've been the front runners from the very, very start of the season, and they stayed up on top. But you're also expecting them to do that with the budget they have and the quality of players they have at their disposal. So, yeah, listen, a few big games, obviously. Wexford, UCD, so that's going to be interesting. Obviously, Treaty and Longford, you're probably looking at Treaty to beat Longford. UCD, Wexford, I know UCD have been planning for the playoffs for a while. They know they're in the playoffs a long time, so they're preparing for the playoffs and have been the last 3 or 4 weeks. So will they play a strong team, or any players that are carrying me Knox, will they play them, or maybe players that are close to maybe, you know, 10 bookings, they might just either let them take a booking, or they'll potentially not play them at all. So that's been really, really interesting. So yeah, and obviously Cove and Bray as well. So there's a couple of games there, they're intriguing games. But yeah, listen, Dundalk for winners for me, and then Cove, Bray, UCD, and then, as I say, it's going to be Treaty or Wexford to push for that fourth spot. Out of that, you'd think Cove should be the best, but the playoffs throw up very, very difficult matches, and you never know. Sometimes your Wexford or Treaty could come through and qualify for the final and maybe get through into the Premier League, but you just never know. But look at the players that Cove have, the experience they have, you think that they should be the ones that make the playoff spot and play against the second team in the Premier League.
It's just a bit of a pity we can't be really including Finn Harps in them conversations. It could have been it was so close to being, you know, a really exciting end of the season, but I suppose it is going to end with a bit of a whimper. Three games left, away to Dundalk, and then two home games against Kerry and UCD. What's going to be the objective for Kevin McHugh now heading into the off-season?
Yeah, listen, that's disappointing. You know, I just look at, you know, we're at 35 points. Take out Treaty and Wexford, and, you know, UCD are fourth and they're in 52, so there's a fair jump from the 35 points to the UCD and the Bray, you know, we're in 59. So, you know, there's a fair lot of work to do to close that gap in the off-season. For me, that they need better quality players in. They've conceded too many goals all season as well. So, you know, where the performances have been good at spells when they need it most, and big performances just haven't produced the goods. And that's an area that Kevin will look to address. And you need to be up there challenging to make the playoffs. You need to be up in third and fourth, second spot, as close to that as possible, you know. So it was always a long shot that we would make that fourth, the fifth spot, fourth spot in the playoffs, obviously. But, you know, the results haven't been good enough. And home records were really, really important. And obviously results in the last few weeks haven't been good enough, and that's just disappointing. Even though there were some good performances on the positive side, I suppose, you know, a lot of young lads have broken through, you know, three lads in international under 17 team as well, which is, you know, bodes well for them in the future. But on top of that, we just need to add a bit more quality, and probably a defence, somewhere in midfield, and then obviously maybe another winger as well with a wee bit of quality, you know. But there's a nucleus of very, very good squad of players, just needs a bit more strength and depth to last out the whole season, and maybe we would experience as well with aid them for next season. But yeah, loads of work to do. But I suppose in the last three or four games, you're looking for them to go out and, on a positive slant, get 3 points in every game they go and play against, and finish the season as high as they possibly can.
Declan, interesting views as always. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll be talking to you again soon. All right, take care.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Former Finnhouse captain Declan Boyle looking ahead to the big games on the domestic scene in the country this weekend. Institute and Limavady are in action in the Irish League Championship on Saturday. Stute are away to H&W Welders while Limavady host Loughgall. Locally, the big game of the weekend in the Donegal Junior League Premier Division is the Letterkenny Derby between Letterkenny Rovers and Bonnygee United at the Dry Arch on Sunday afternoon. In other Premier Division games, high-flying Donegal Town welcome neighbour St Catharines, and Kilmacrenan and Celtic are away at KGU Rovers. In our spotlight on the Donegal Junior League this week, Chris Ashmore has been getting an update on what's going on at two clubs who meet each other in a derby clash in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1. Swilly Rovers host Rathmullen Celtic at Swilly Park on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Chris has been speaking with PJ Kavanagh, the chairperson of Swilly Rovers, about a new manager, ground developments, underage football and much more. Chris began by putting it to PJ that they went into the new season on a better footing than they did last year.
Well, we're 9 weeks back training. This time last year, we were the week before the league started, we were training. You know, and we appointed a new manager, Ben Rubin. He was head of the Ballyrain Academy. And he's brought in his own plan of doing things, like he's running sort of the reserves and the first team. And he trains the whole lot together. For training, last year we might have had 5 or 6 turned up. Now we have 24 is the minimum amount turns up for training.
So that's encouraging. And as we said before, just starting this interview, so you get cycles of having a good squad of players, then you get dips down through the years. I'm sure you've seen it all. The hope would be that this is the start of maybe a new upward curve.
Yeah, well, we lost senior players. Like, they want to play in the Premiership. There's no problem with that. We have no hassle with that. And then we're really reduced to 4 or 5 of the senior players, like Marty McDade and David Craig, Ian Ward, Barry Gallagher and James McCahill, Shane Durning. But all the rest are youngsters. Like, you're talking about 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds. And then you might have a couple of 21s and 23s. But they're playing great football. That's the best thing about it. Mm-hmm. And like we said to Ben, as long as they're competitive, that is what it's about. Not to be, you know, we have to go out and be seen to be doing something, you know. Style of play that they're playing is very good. They're playing attractive football, you know. Like, they were unlucky last Saturday against Aranmore. We were on top of the game against Aranmore, except when we got a player sent off, and that really, you know, created an imbalance. And the same happened on Sunday. Like, we were 2-2 against Gweedore Celtic, and they had a man sent off before, but then we had somebody sent off, you know. It's just them things.
And it is going to take time for some of the newer guys maybe to gel and for Ben to stamp his own opinions on the game and the way he wants them to play. But it's such a strong soccer town, you know, and people do get behind you. Off the field of play, Swilly Park itself, there's been developments there over the last year or so.
Yeah, well, we've redone the AstroTurf, we've redone the field, we've put fencing up, we've spent about, I'd say, nearly 180,000 this last couple of years in it, and we put in that, we got a donation there through the former chairperson, Ailish Tolan, and we put in that, it's like a coffee dock and a video analysis room, and now we've done with Stadia Sports. They have the camera installed and all for doing the match analysis and all. And eventually we hope to put in 124 seaters where the old red stand was, and then to put where the old Red Room is, put in new dressing rooms there. It's going to take money and time, but like the hard working committee we have there, like they're willing to work. That's one thing about them, you know.
What about the underage side of things? Have you many youngsters involved?
We have 157 altogether, from under sixes up to under 16s. We had no youth team, but the players that we would normally have as things were playing with other teams during the youth league. But it's a progress. Like Barry Hart there and Paul Stevens have an under 16 team. Very good footballer, very well coached and all. Then under 14s, there's only one team at under 14, and that's Connell and Christian Gourney and them. But they're coming on, you know. We haven't got the numbers. Like, we used to be the top team for getting the numbers. We used to have an awful amount of players. But now you have Bonnie Gee and you have Letterkenny, and they're all at it now, you see. So the numbers are that we're getting is less than what we used to have, you know. But we're still working with what we have, you know. And like, they're playing good football. They're being coached properly. And that's the main thing about it, you know.
So this weekend, there's the first team in action against Rathmullen Celtic. That'll be an interesting local derby.
I'd say Rathmullen would be one of the favourites to come out of that league, the same with Milford. Because, I mean, well, Milford are in transition too, because they've a lot of younger players. But Rathmullen have a seasoned team as such, and that, like, they got players in from Lagan Harps as well, you know, which will be a big addition to them. Like, it's always a feisty affair. But, I mean, it's good football. Like, the last time, there was a couple of minutes to go and they were 2-0 up. We ended up winning it 6-3, you know.
A typical Monday morning in Remelton, if you're walking about, one of the first things people will always chat about is the weekend, because there's great interest in the club throughout the town.
There is, I think, but there always has been. Like, I'm involved with this club for 40 years. And, you know, there always has been, because I was just saying, like, Marty McDade there played for us at under 12 when we went to the Mars six-a-side for St. Mary's. Like, Marty was playing that time, and he's still playing, and that's 27 years later.
And if you, you look, know? If you look at the team sheet, there's always names that you would associate with players of the past, so that sort of that family tradition continues.
Well, not only that too, when you see not so long ago the three captains for the three Northwest clubs in the League of Ireland were all ex-Tralee Rovers players. Cowan with Harps, you had Barry McNamee with Derry, and you had Shane McFadden with Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, and it's incredible when you look at the number of players from Remelton who have played senior soccer with clubs all over the country and beyond, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. And, I mean, the biggest problem we had, at one stage, we had contacts with six premier clubs in England, but the Brexit destroyed all that on us, you know, because we were able to get players over for trials. And there was no problem with it. And but now that's all gone, because you have to go a funny way about today to get anyone over to England, you know.
And no doubt the hope will be that you'll be back in the top tier in the not-too-distant future. And
the top tier could be another thing, because the way it is at the moment, there's a couple of clubs in that top tier, and they're going to rule the roost unless they're put into the League of Ireland third division.
And that is certainly going to be interesting to see how that third tier materialises. Just to conclude matters, hopes for the season, what would you feel yourself? Can you push to be up there, or is it a case of sort of steadying the ship and preparing?
We're really steadying the ship, but at the same time we would hope, like, to be pushing near the top. If we're not going to panic about it, because this is going to take a couple of years to get this sorted, you know.
But overall, you'd be confident that the structures are in place, the facilities are there, so the building blocks for a better future are being laid.
Oh, well, that's it. That's it. Like, I mean, we've been at it for so long, and 4 years' time, we're 100 years old, so we haven't stopped yet.
That was PJ Kavanagh, the Swilly Rovers chairperson. Meanwhile, up the road, Rathmullen Celtic also have a new management setup, and like Swilly, they were relegated from the top tier last season. Chris has been finding out more about their setup for this season's campaign from new boss Chris Cunningham.
So, Chris, at the AGM of Rathmullen Celtic, you were given the post of being the man who's in the hot seat at Flagpole Field. Last year, you helped out the club a little bit, got a few minutes under your own belt, and now you're steering the ship.
Aye, so it was an easy decision when I, you know, when I met with everybody and when I was working with the lads that was there last year. Great bunch of lads. They gave everything, you know, after such a disappointing season last year, they gave everything, and I seen that it was evident. So, you know, meeting with the committee and, you know, talking through the plans and what I intended, you know, for the season, it was an easy decision then when I was asked that I want the job. So that was really, really good.
Yeah. Your own background, you played quite a bit in the North, Strabane, Sion Mills, and also had a stint with Lifford Celtic.
Aye, so I've a long, illustrious playing career. I've sort of played sort of junior football since I was about 15, so 25 years I was playing roughly. Played it all with all the local clubs, you know, the Mourne Celtics, the Sion Swifts, Lifford Celtic, you know, I played with them all. I played with the original Strabane FC when it was Tosser McCrossan. You know, I have a lot of experience in football and I enjoy football. I understand football, so it was just an easy transition to start getting into coaching again.
Yeah, and any particular connections with Rathmullen?
Apart from the fact that me and the wife spend quite a few days in the summer, be it during the week or the weekend, travelling down just for trips to the beach and maybe for a bite to eat and things like that there. Just the scenery, if I'm honest, the scenery is what grabs me. You know, when you're standing on a Sunday in the pitch and, you know, especially the summer days, the view out onto the ocean is just something to behold, just.
Yeah, so you made connections with the club, got the few games last year. It was disappointing to get relegated from the Premier Division, but it must be said it is a very high standard at the moment. You're in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1 this year and getting off to a fine start to the season. Your opening game, a 3-0 win away against Convoy, so that's certainly a very positive start.
Yeah, we were due to play Balbafay just, but with, you know, one thing and another, with one of the club committee members losing their mum, we had a win sort of delay until get playing Convoy. But look, the boys have worked really hard over pre-season. They've asked everything I've asked of them. They have their jobs to do. I give them their roles, you know. And to be fair, it was nervous for them. You know, Convoy, it's, you know, first game after a disappointing season. They all sort of wanted to prove a point. You know, they were nervous for a while, but, you know, getting that first goal from Reese, you know, really settled the boys down. They started to play football, and then, you know, we really took control of the game, you know.
So Reese Thompson with one of the goals, Jay Curran getting two of them, I think. You've brought in a number of new players, but the spine, a lot of last year's team there as well. So it's a good mixture.
Yeah, we kept as much as we could, or as, you know, as much as was available. Obviously, a few guys have moved on. They, you know, not so much even other clubs. They just sort of, you know, decided to hang up the boots, so that they feel they're the wrong side of 30. And, you know, but we, you know, it's a great bonus to get the likes of Kevin Shakey O'Donnell back, and, you know, was played by Rathmullen, was way Bonagy there. You know, getting boys like that back and who are local. The local lads is what the club's all about. That's who the supporters come out to watch, is the local lads. Like.
And then the Sheridan, a club stalwart, he's your right-hand man?
In all my years of coaching football, I don't think I've met a more passionate man about a club. And if there's one man that knows pretty much everything there is to know about the football in Donegal, it would be Enda. He's a great man, to be honest, to have by my side.
And a great club with great facilities and a great pitch down there as well in Rathmullen.
That's all the kind of stuff that, you know, sort of pulled me towards, you know, when they worked with the club was, you know, you can't want for anything. You know, the pitch is there, the clubhouse is there, you know, everything's there. You know, so there's no back in getting anything you need. You know, you need something, you just ask, and it's provided. Like, the, as I say, you'll probably be tired hearing it throughout the year, but they're a great bunch to work with, from the players to the Enda, Megan, the physio, and then the committee itself.
It'll probably take a while to sort of assess your opposition in the league, in the first division. How high are you setting the bar? Is it a case of sort of just steadying yourselves and maybe hoping to finish mid-table, or are you looking for a quick return to the Premier?
So, to be fair, it's not something I really plan for. I don't say, I want to win the league, or I don't want to get relegated, or I want to finish in the middle. We're sort of, as a group, we're taking each game as it comes, you know, each result. You know, we adjust what we think. You know, maybe halfway through the season, look at where we're at, look at how we've done against, you know, the opponents and the league, and see, you know, you can sort of judge a wee bit more then, you know, when you get the other side of Christmas, of where you think you can get your points from, and hopefully then you can sort of have a thought of, you know, promotion, one in the league, relegation, that kind of stuff. But the main aim will be, you know, consolidation, competing, you know, scoring goals, trying to keep clean sheets and just pick up the points as we go along.
And this weekend, near neighbours, Swilly Rovers, so there'll be a little bit of extra interest in it, given that it's a local derby, so a big game for both clubs.
Well, for myself, being an outsider, obviously there's a different feel for the players and, you know, for the supporters and things like that, you know. But for me, I'm not going to try not to let the players buy into the hype about the derby, because it can take away the wee bit of concentration levels. We spoke about it, you know, it's another game. The name of who we're playing doesn't matter. It's another game. We go on to it. We do what we want to do, and what the plan. We put the plan into action, and hopefully, come 3 o'clock, we come out the road with 3 points.
That is Rathmullen boss Chris Cunningham speaking with Highland's Chris Ashmore. Elsewhere in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1 on Sunday, Capri Rovers play Gidor Celtic, Convoy Arsenal play Milford United, and Kerrykeel 71 host Gidor United at Rabs Park. In the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2, Cranford play Dunfanaghy Utes, Livered Celtic take on Curragh Athletic, Drumkeen United welcome White Strand United, Dunkaneely Celtic face Letter Barrow Celtic, and Deal Harps are away to Raphoe Town. There are also fixtures across all three Saturday divisions of the Donegal League on Saturday afternoon. In the Inishowen League on Sunday, there are 4 games down for decision in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division. Champions Muncrana Hearts are away to Cairn. Clonmany travel to Alia. Illies play Kildaff, and Redcastle host Cockhill Celtic. There's also a full round of games in Divisions 1 and 2 on Sunday. Now it is time for a short break here on The Score. When we come back, we'll be focusing on a big weekend of Gaelic Games action here in Donegal. Welcome back to The Score. Niamh Columba and Mallin will go head-to-head in the 2025 Donegal Intermediate Football Final on Sunday at O'Donnell Park. Both of these clubs have suffered defeat in recent finals and will be aiming to right the wrongs of the past on Sunday. For Niamh Columba, they head into their third final in 4 years. The Glencolum Kill side were beaten by Dunloe in the 2022 decider and by Terman in 2024. Mallin, meanwhile, lost out to Downings in the 2023 final. Well, Ryan Ferry, the sports editor at the Donegal News, was catching up with the managers of the two clubs at a press event this week. We'll soon hear from Mallin boss Paul Gallagher, but firstly, here is Ryan in conversation with Niamh Columba manager Brendan Doherty.
Brendan, you're through to the intermediate final. You've got a big date coming up on Sunday against Mallin. How's everybody feeling in the lead-up to this match?
Good, looking forward to it. I think we said that our objective at the start of the year is getting here again and trying to right the bad wrong, and that's what we're doing.
It's been going well. You've been carrying a lot of momentum through, I suppose, in the knockout stages. You've had big games against Buncrana and against Red Hughes, where they've been topsy-turvy at times, but you're still standing.
Yeah, I think them two games actually hit the same trend. We kind of found ourselves kind of, 6-7 up at one stage, and then we kind of, we let them back in with bad goals. So we never panicked in the other two games, and as you say, we just came out to the right side. But a wee bit of calmness, a wee bit of composure, maybe a wee bit of experience from last year and the journey that we're on, and I think we done all right to get over the line in both games. But look, it's not that we scare, but you need that every now and again.
Yeah, I suppose when looking through your team sheet, there are a couple of changes from last year. I suppose a big one is Philip Doherty is back after his cruciate injury, back in good time for you. And then the likes of Ryan Gillespie and Finn Gallagher have come back to the country. Was it hard to persuade them to come back?
No, they persuaded me, to be quite honest with you, and that's just the way. I wouldn't expect nothing off them lads, because they're huge Glenmen. you know, down through the years, and I think it broke their heart last year, been away in the final, and maybe thinking that they could have done something about it. So, like, they made up their mind that they were going to come back. I didn't make no phone call to them boys at all. That's just a testament to them boys how much they wanted to play for the club. And of course, then Philip back too was huge, because he was missed last year. He really, really was missed last year, especially in the final. You know.
Yeah, he's a real leader for you at centre half back, and he's come back in great shape.
Testament to himself, like, he'll do every last thing that he can. His attention to detail to get himself back has been brilliant altogether. And you know, he is probably in the shape of his life now, because it was a bad injury he had, and he's playing well.
Yeah, and you have a couple of young lads in there too, Alex Cunha and Shane Callaghan. I suppose people would have seen them with the South West Donegal team and the Donegal Miners under 20 over the last couple of years. They're young, they're athletic, and they know where the posts are.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've Alex and we've Shane, definitely. But there are both. We've a good spread of youth and experience in the side, you know. So it's not really down to one or two young fellas. I think everybody puts in their shift, and that's the most thing that I'm happy with, is actually the strength and depth of the squad this year. Like, we've put actually 21 seniors to play championship, and not to go, you know, with, we can go into the reserves now at this stage when they're out. So we have a good squad of players, and it's something that we wouldn't have been used to down through the years in our club. So that's a huge thing for us this year as well, you know.
Yeah. So what about Malin? Have you been keeping tabs on them throughout the year?
No, I'm not going to dodge the question at all. I haven't really, because I think we've seen plenty of them last year. We played them three times last year, twice in the championship and once in the league. So we haven't come across them this year. But I watched a few back their games on the stream. That very, very impressive. Really, really dogged side. And I know that we're going to have to be at our very best to beat them.
Yeah. So it's two times your lads have come back to the losing dressing room on the intermediate final day, and perhaps not done themselves justice. Is there a steely determination that it's not going to be like this on Sunday?
Well, look, as I said earlier, I'm actually getting a lot of comfort in the way Termin have played this year and the way of what they've done this year, because we were one of the first teams to come on them. And look at, hey, the reason why we lost these two finals, because we weren't good enough. The team that we played against, Dunlow the first day out and Termin the second day out, you know, the Termin were in a, you know, league champions this year. Dunlow were in a county senior final last year. We were nowhere near that level at the time. All we can do is just get a big performance and see where it takes us. And sure, look at these intermediate finals are very, very hard to win, and as we see, any one of seven or eight teams can actually win them. So a big performance is going to be needed.
I'm joined here by Paul Gallagher of Malin. Paul, your team are going very well. You're through to the intermediate final against Neve Columba. What's the buzz like in Malin in the lead up to this big match?
Buzz is good. Everybody's excited about it, you know, back in the finals. So don't get here too often. So, you know, it's good.
Yeah, you were in the final a couple of years ago, and you weren't the manager. There's a good few survivors in your team from that. They obviously lost to Downans by 2 points. How does that impact on this game going into it, do you think? Or does it have any influence?
I don't think, probably a bit of experience there first. You know, there's a transfer of players from that game, but there's a lot of new boys in as well. So take the experience of losing that game, you know, and a bit of hurt from it, and it's a different game as well, you know, different team, and different, you know, it's different rules as well, you know, so there's only so much you can take from it, to be honest.
Yeah, your team has changed a good bit. There's a lot of young players in, the likes of Kieran O'Kane and Taylor Bonner, and these fellas have become real leaders for you this year.
Yeah, with two boys have been massive, like, and they're, two of them are under 20 in the middle of the field, and they have been great, you know, there's plenty running in them, and two strong youngsters, and change the dynamic of the team as well, you know. But a lot of youth through the team as well, you know, and everybody's stepping up and putting their best foot forward, you know, like, so it's good. Like, it's a very running game now, you know, and you need those youth in the legs as well.
Yeah, you had a great semi-final win over Neumora. It was tight, but the ability to get goals, Malin always seemed to have had that, and it was crucial in the semi-final when you got three.
Yeah, we seem to be getting goals in the last few games, you know. I wouldn't say we're renowned for it leading up to that, and wouldn't have had many goals in the league, but whatever way it's falling for us at the moment, you know, it's good. And first goal against Neighbourne was a lucky enough goal, and over the dropped in, but no, look, you have to take your luck when it's given to you, you know, and I'm not complaining, you know, it's good, like, you know. Neighbourne, very, very tough side, you know. and it took those goals to get over the line. So
yeah. So obviously your semi-final was on the Saturday. Did you get up to Ballyshannon on the Sunday to have a look at Neve Columba and Red Hughes?
No, I just watched it on the stream, which is, you know, probably my wife wouldn't have thanked me for another day away. So it's just good. Look, great quality watching it, and you have the benefit of the commentators as well. So it's good. They look very dangerous, very fast on the break. I've seen them against Buncrana as well, you know, and they've just talent all over the side. You know, there's a lot of men that you have to pick up and be mindful for. But it's another challenge, you know.
And what would it mean to the people of Malin if you could bring back the Cathal McLaughlin Cup on Sunday evening?
Oh, that'd be huge. I couldn't even put it into words. Like we've only won a junior in our championship and a championship history, and to take it back, I'd just give the whole parish a huge lift. You know, like I remember 2 years ago in the heart of losing it, and it would just be huge. You know, like we don't get many trophies back into Malin. You know, and if we can manage to get over the line, it would just be massive.
That was Malin manager Paul Gallagher, and before that was Neve Columba boss Brenton Doherty, both looking ahead to Sunday's big game. We will have full live match coverage of that game here on Highland Radio with Oisin Kelly and Brennan Kilcoyne from the 4 o'clock throw-in on Sunday afternoon. The curtain raiser to that game is the Intermediate B final between Buncrana and Burt. That one is at 2 o'clock. The Senior C final will be played at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, with St Union's going up against Sean McCool's in Glenswilly. And it is quarter-final stage of the Under-21 Hurling Championship this Saturday. St Union's play Setanta, Letterkenny Gales play Foremasters, Burt play Carindonagh, and Sean McCool's face Irua Ballyshannon. Highland's dedicated GAA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Brendan Devaney has been reviewing and previewing all the weekend's championship action in Donegal on the DL Debate, which you can tune into on the playback section at highlandradio.com. This Saturday, Terman and Glenfinn will once again go head-to-head for the Donna Dunyan Boyle Memorial Cup and be crowned Donegal LGFA Senior Championship winners for 2025. This will be the fifth meeting between the sides in the last six finals. Terman are the defending champions. Last year's win gave them three titles in a row, while Glenfinn are seeking a first win in the decider since 2021. Dunlow ladies manager Tony Boyle has been given the neutral view on the big game with Highland's Oisin Kelly.
So time to look forward to the Donegal Senior Ladies Championship final, which of course is on this coming Saturday afternoon, 4:30 at the O'Donnell Park. To look ahead to that game, I'm now joined by current Dunlow Ladies manager, Tony Boyle, who joins us to look ahead with a neutral view ahead of this one. Tony, how are you doing? Good to speak to you again.
Hi, good, Oisin. Hi, looking forward to the ladies' final at the weekend. Should be the makings of a good one.
Yeah. Now I know you were involved in the same group that Terman, one of the finalists, were involved in as well. But when we look at this, Terman against Glenfinn, this is now their fifth meeting in the last six finals, and some wouldn't be too surprised that these two sides are set to go at it again, Tony.
No, probably not. Last year, I think Moville broke the mould, and Moville got to a final and lost out to a very strong Terman team. And then the previous five finals, I think they've shared them. I think Glenfinn have won two, and Terman have won three. But listen, that's no real surprise. Oisin, you know, they still are the heavyweights of ladies senior football. As I said, we were in the same group as Terman, and we played them in the group stages, and probably quite unlucky on the day. We lost out by a point, but we had already lost the previous game at home to Moville, and that sort of knocked us out. But listen, the group we were in was probably the strongest side of the draw, no disrespect to the other teams. So Terman were well tested and didn't win any of the games very convincingly in our group, but Glenfinn came through the other group very, very easily, you know. And but as I say, listen, it is the makings of a great final. Obviously, Glenfinn have a couple of their sort of more experienced names back playing, you know, and Yvonne Bonner and I think Karen Guthrie came back from injury is back playing, and obviously Terman on the other side. Obviously Geraldine's not available this year, which is a massive loss when you know take out not alone the best forward probably ever in Donegal, but maybe one of the best forwards in the country. And obviously Evelyn McGinley is another big loss, who I think Evelyn transferred back to her home club in St. Michael's. So they are two big losses for
and you've Shannon McLaughlin as well. That's not about for them too.
Shannon, that's right. Shannon is travelling, you know. And it's the one thing when you're involved in ladies football, you know, there can be a big turnover of girls. Within, I think last year or 2 years ago when we won the junior title to this year and the senior title, the senior championship, you know, we've lost about 7 players, you know, between travelling and work and college and that, you know, that can happen, you know. But listen, they're still the two top teams in senior ladies football in Donegal, and it'll make for a very interesting final on Saturday.
Yeah, sir. You mentioned about the tougher group that you felt that yous were in along with Termon. Is that the sort of thing could stand the Termon now when it comes to this stage of the campaign?
Yeah, probably good. You know, Termon, I think Termon, from memory serves me right, we went down maybe the second last game, and listen, it was a must-win game for both teams, because if we had beat Termon that day, it would have meant they were going to have to beat Moville just to have a three-way tie at the top. And Termon got over the line by a point against us. I think the following week they went down, the previous week they had played St. Eunan's and Letterkenny and O'Donnell Park, and had only won by 2 points. And then in the last round of games, they had to go to Moville to get a one to top the group to avoid playing Glenfin, and they just won that by a point as well. So they were very, very close games in our group. Whereas I think Glenfin probably had a lot sort of maybe handier games or easier games, you know. So that will stand determined going into the final. The question, you know, Glenfin are probably maybe asking themselves, have they been really road tested for the championship? But listen, they've proved already in the Division One league that they, you know, they beat Termon in the final of that, and you know they're obviously on looking to do the double, which would be sort of a big surprise when you think Termon dominated everything in this last 2 years for Glenfin to come back. But again, they've got a lot of experienced players back, and that's definitely going to help them on Saturday.
And that has obviously been the fruit of what's happening so far this year, because remember Glenfin played in a Shield final last year, Tony. So with adding Katie Heron back in fit, Karen Guthrie coming in, and obviously Yvonne Boner's in there as well, this core has added that extra element to it. And like, that's a big giant step back up the way from last year from the Shield final.
Yeah, 100%. Like I remember we played Glenfin early in Division One on a wet night on a Friday night up and thing. The one thing I noticed that night, and I think it was an eye opener for us, you know, up in Division One, you know, the difference in physicality. I know they didn't have Karen or Kitty Heron that day, but Yvonne was back, and obviously Yvonne's husband Paul is managing the team, and I got a sense that year or that night that Glenfin were really targeting this year, you know, because obviously Yvonne was back, and they, you know, we've sort of figured Katie Heron would be coming back into the mix. They got Abby McGranahan transferred from Robert Emmett's, you know, to add to their forward line, and then obviously getting Karen Guthrie with the experience Karen has, and obviously the scoring power Karen has. I think from early this year, Glenfin were targeting this year as a year to sort of break that stranglehold that Termon has over the last couple of years, and they've already done it in the league Division One. And as I said, I'm sure they're going to hope to maybe add the championship there on Saturday as well.
I know in the men's game there's always a lot of talk about the structure of the championship. Some are happy with it and some aren't. But and the LGFA structure and how the championship is run, as a manager, Tony, is it something that you're happy with? Do you feel that this is the right format for the clubs at senior level? Or is it time maybe to take a look at something else?
It's difficult, Oisín, because to be fair, in the previous 2 years, listen, we were lucky enough. We won the junior title, as I said, 2 years ago, and we won the intermediate title last year. But in both of them competitions, you had two groups, I think, of four, and you play your three group games, and then it goes through to quarterfinals, semifinals. Some years it just goes to semifinals, and that. But with the senior championship, you're always the problem with the senior ladies championship in Donegal is there's always an odd team that's looking to regrade, you know, and that can come down to, you know, just a lack of players, and players retire, and players not available, players travelling, and that. So it really sort of goes year to year. To be honest, listen, when you're drawing out two groups, it is a bit of the luck of the draw, you know. As I said, we would have felt probably we were in the stronger group, you know, the tougher group this year. But we make no bones about it. Like we felt we could have got out of the group, and we just didn't perform at home against Movella, and we came up short against Terman, you know. So it's difficult, you know. It's not like a senior men's championship, Oisin, where you have 16 teams in the senior championship. You know, you had 9 this year. You're hoping. I think there's a rule in there with. And the LGFA that once you won intermediate, irrespective of how you do, you're playing senior championship for the next 3 years. And I can understand why that rule comes in, because obviously you've had two very dominant teams, you know, and Movella has come in and out there in an odd few years, and you know, you probably would have clubs that would rather not play in the senior championship. But listen, you've got to try and build club football in Donegal, and to me, the only way to do it is have a competitive senior championship, you know. And as I said, you know, it was our first year in the senior championship. We came up short this year, but we'd be hoping, you know, St. Noel's got to the semi-final, Clenties are knocking about, Ballyshannon are quite strong at the minute. So listen, it can be difficult for the teams that are trying to close the gap on Terman and Glenfinn, but there's no other way around it. You've just got to try and do the work and try and do that.
All right then, Tony, just finally, the big senior decider this coming weekend between Terman and Glenfinn. By the way, we're going to have some live coverage from the match on Highland. Jeremy Doherty and Maureen O'Donnell will be on duty for Highland Radio Sports. Starts at 4:30 at the O'Donnell Park on Saturday afternoon. Tony Boyle, you're the neutral here. How's this one going to go in your mind, do you think? What's your prediction?
I think it's going to be close. Obviously, the strengths, as I already mentioned, you know, you have the, from a Glenfinn point of view, you know, you have Katie Hearn, Karen Guthrie, Yvonne Bonner, probably all starting in the forward line, and it's going to take three very good defenders to mark them three. Not to worry about Danielle Gallagher or Abby McGranagher as well. You know, now the one thing that Terman have, they have a couple of experienced defenders, obviously in Nicole McLaughlin, Emer Gallagher. You know, so they may be fit to handle that for a while. But I just think if I look at it over the year and the scores that Glenfinn were posting compared to the scores that Terman were posting, obviously without Geraldine, I'd be thinking that it's probably going to be Glenfinn on Saturday who'll be crowned senior ladies champions.
And they will, of course, be left in the Donald Dunyan Boyle Memorial Cup, whoever it is, be it Terman or Glenfinn. Listen, Tony, as always, thanks for joining us on the programme, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
No problem. Thank you, Oisin.
That is Tony Boyle in conversation with Oisin Kelly in the build-up to the Donegal Senior Ladies Final this coming Saturday. Elsewhere on the LGFA scene on Sunday afternoon, the Junior A Final will be contested between Urs and Neve Columba, and the Junior B Final will see Red Hughes play St. Michael's. Now, just to take a look at what else is happening in the local sporting world over the weekend. In rugby, Coleraine play Rainey in the Gordon West Cup on Saturday, and in a show and take on Coleraine's second string side in the Provincial North competition. And finally, in rallying, the Cork 20 International Rally will be held over Saturday and Sunday with lots of local interest, so we'll be keeping a close eye on that during the weekend sports shows. That is just about it for this episode of The Score. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher, and if you missed any of tonight's show, it will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Have a great evening, enjoy the sport of the weekend, and I will be talking to you all again very soon.